Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January the 23rd. Joining us this morning, the traveling supervisor, Virginia Bass.
I'm here just for you today.
Because you weren't here for me last week or any other time
well,
or next week? Or
you're the one that's canceled on me several times, so don't give me too much grief.
Ha!
Can I remind you of the time?
All right. Are you smarty? Are you ready for my getting even? Why do we say that?
I'm on live, which makes me always really concerned.
Yeah, I won't use choke. Cocktail. Smarty pants. How did the cocktail get its name?
It must have something to do with roosters. It's the opposite of when the rooster crows to wake you up in the morning. I have no idea.
Nah.
Okay, tell me.
The father of the cocktail in the United States was Antoine Pechard, an apothecary.
Like a pharmacist kind of.
Right, who came to New Orleans from the West Indies in 1795 and was the inventor of Picard's bitters. The term cocktail is probably from the French word cocktail, name of a mixed drink popular in the vicinity of Bordeaux. But cocktail may have come from the common practice among owners of gamecocks.
When they had the fights?
Of feeding them a special mash prepared of many ingredients, including beer or ale.
Oh,
this mixture was called C-O-K-A-L-E. Cock. A-L.
Well, you know, you have so much information that I may never, ever use in my life in that book, but it's always interesting. Actually, it'd be fun to read through.
Yeah, I know. It kind of... I lose it doing commercial breaks.
How long have you been... I'm sorry to...
When do we start?
Because you mark it all down, and I'm just curious.
Yeah, we started in June.
Okay. So you ever repeat them through the years?
Well, it hasn't been years.
Well, see,
and we got so many more to go.
Yeah, but you have other books. That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. There are the other ones. The quote books are around and stuff. But not this one. Anyway, so I understand from a picture you must have gotten lost in Washington.
I was there for a whole day and a half.
Uh-huh.
And then, are you talking about, then I was, I had
the picture.
Which one?
You were underneath the sign. I figured you must have gotten lost.
Which sign?
It
Washington?
Said Speaker of the House.
Oh, yeah. You know, went back with the California State Association of Counties. They have, at the national level, they have a meeting at the beginning of the year for all the new presidents. So it was like...
Oh, so there were 50 of you?
There was probably about 48 if you didn't make it. And this is the small world thing. The guy who's the president in Alaska, he's from the Kenai Peninsula, and his brother lives in Arcata. I think Dave Navari. It says his brother. And I thought, how odd is that to run into somebody whose relative lives in pretty much in your town?
Something akin to that, yeah.
Weird. So,
was he one that made it, or is he one that heard about you and didn't show up?
No, he made it. But it was interesting. They had some of the not electeds necessarily come over. Well, they had a few come and talk during the day and some like workshops, and a lot of it was focused on the shutdown.
In a day?
Oh, it was.
If you took a 14-hour workday.
Yeah, well,
it still isn't an awful lot of time.
No, you started like 8 and then, you know, go into
meetings
evenings.
And stuff.
Yeah, and it's and then the morning you get up and then you go to the Capitol and then we're all flying back that afternoon. So it was a lot in a short period of time. Luckily, the weather was good. Met a lot of great people, met some folks I knew in the past from a training I went to that are now presidents. But it's great because you get to share, you know, what's going on in their state. It's not always much different than what's going on.
Yeah, I would figure it's probably pretty comparable across the board.
Yeah. So it was, it did snow on me, though. I went walking on one day, and it wasn't supposed to snow, and I've never got...
Surprise?
Yeah, and it was like I was on a 3-hour walk, so I was looking pretty...
So you did get lost then.
I did. No, I did. Actually, when you talk about that, I ended up walking, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm in front of, how did I get here, you know?
George Washington or Georgetown.
That's got multiple sides. It was like,
no, so what was the one takeaway?
The one takeaway, I would just say from the perspective of the position is that all the people, like whether it's Rex or myself or those that are working, trying to be at the state position leadership, we really are trying to do our best to bring information back. And we try to make sure we are represented. And so I think it was just knowing we're all in there and no one was really jockeying to see who could be the head, you know, like head state or whatever. We all just were there knowing that we have to deal with a lot of things in common. We all deliver much of the same services and we're all being affected with things like the shutdown in similar ways. So it's just the takeaway is it's the farther away you go from home, it's still very much like home.
Yeah, that's interesting because I would have suspected that Wyoming's challenges are far different than California or, you know, some the regional challenges that are out there, like, let's say, highways and infrastructure in Wyoming. Bingo. Okay. Because such a large percentage of their roads are of that ilk or rail.
Right.
But might be a big deal. Wherefore, there aren't. that there are things that are in common, but there's also things that make each state.
Well, I think to some extent that's true, but we all, as counties, have certain things that we are required to provide for, like indigent care. It's like the codes that say
some of the national programs.
Yeah, and so, the level of homelessness is probably different. I mean, you're not going to find a lot of homeless in Wyoming in the winter, I wouldn't suspect. They might go there during
the summer. I've heard Montana doesn't have a big issue either. Yeah.
You know, so some things are going to have a different magnitude, but overall, what the counties provide are pretty similar. So it's just.
I wonder if the states, if you broke it out to state focus rather than federal, if it would be the same. But we'll find about that when we come back.
Yeah.
It's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Virginia, you mentioned a little bit about the state issues and that a lot of the states have things in common as they try to execute some of the federal programs. Okay. Same, I would suspect, with the state level, where there's commonality for the counties trying to execute state programs. But there are still differences between Humboldt and, let's say, MODOC.
To
different magnitudes and everything else. I realize you guys didn't spend an awful lot of time together when you were back there, but now that those doors of contact have been opened, I would suspect that there's going to be opportunities to do outreach and to find new solutions or different solutions to some of the various challenges that we seem to have either brought upon ourselves or that just naturally occur within California.
Well, I think it is like many organizations or anything you do, you probably have a similar body of people that once you go to these things, you have all their contact information. You have their cell phones, you have email, and it's really easy to just, I do this in the state with the different counties, and I could do it, but you can just send a blast out. It's like, hey, this is what we're having. How do you deal with it? Do you have this issue there? Because obviously the states all have different governors, and I think every governor has a different flavor of government that he or she brings to the table.
Yeah, the differing priorities.
Yeah.
And that would make sense. It would be really neat to see if you pluck something from somewhere and try it here.
As long as it's not illegal, you can certainly do that. There are some things, you know.
And then there's that whole discussion.
Yeah. Anyway. But you mentioned MODOK, and I was going to say one of the things I did get to do this week, it's been a busy 2 weeks, thank goodness it's quieted down. I had the opportunity Saturday to actually speak at this event called the 27th Annual Empowerment Congress Summit in Los Angeles, which was a little bit, intimidating, to say the least, but it was put forward by Supervisor Ridley Thomas, who started it when he was a city council member 27 years ago. He went and served in the state, and you know, I went not knowing what to expect, but
and delivered.
It really felt good when I got done, because I basically talked about, you know, whether you come from Los Angeles County with 10 million people, or you come from Alpine County that had almost fewer people in their county than were in the room that I was speaking to. We all have a lot of the same services we have to deliver, but yes, to different magnitudes. But it was interesting when you said that. It's like, yeah, you know, we can't deny that we all have the same rules, but the magnitude of the services definitely does.
Some train wrecks are uglier than others.
Alpine County, and this the typical way that this one supervisor gets to anywhere she goes is it's a 5-hour drive to her board meeting, and she takes a sled from her house, a snowmobile from her house. She has to go several miles to where she has a vehicle. By that time, she's all soaking wet, so she has to dry her hair, seriously, in the heater in the car. I mean, I'm listening to this, or truck, and then drive, you know, all this four-wheel, and I'm listening thinking, oh, I cannot complain about how our life is here. It's like, as far as getting places, and I thought, that is dedication, and I'm glad if I lived in Alpine County, I would probably not choose to do all that, but that shows real dedication to, you know, Rex goes a lot of places. I've never seen him do quite this extent.
Yeah.
I think Supervisor Woodrow from Alpine should get an award.
She takes the cake?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, maybe you can do something for her, but that's her reality set, mm-hmm. and LA's is probably just as goofy for us.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so as you're looking at that, how does the state then come down with a one size fits all with these various programs that come through?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the stuff I would go after and say there really needs to be some recognition here, because if you've got the other 57 standing behind you. Now you've got a unified front from the county saying you cannot do this, and we realize that you're going to play and capitulate to the big money ones and the big population ones, but there's got to be some recognition of segmentation here, of economic strata.
Well,
as we're doing our battles here, LA may be kicking butt and taking names, and San Francisco now is starting to have issues with the homeless, it's not one size.
Well,
you can't do that.
I've written down the word flexibility is probably one of the things, at least I hear most in our organization, and I suspect in RCRC as well, is it's fine to give us parameters. You know, these dollars are coming down now, lots of homeless dollars. And
they'll throw in opioids, and those are probably the two magic categories, right?
But part of it is allowing the flexibility to do with what each community believes is the best approach for them. Same thing with, whether it's wildfires or any of these other things. It's L.A., you know, Ventura. I mean, there's wildfires all over, but how Butte has to recover or Shasta has to recover is going to be a different strategy, but similar in some things, but different than Ventura County and L.A. and Santa Barbara. So a lot of the dollars that come down have always been really structured, and we are seeing some come down, like this most recent funding, the acronym's HEAP, and right now I can't even tell you what it is before the commercial break. But it allows flexibility, and we can talk a little more about that if you don't mind when we come back, because I think it's important.
Well, if she thinks it's important, obviously it's important, and we'll be talking about that when we come back.
You said it didn't you?
That's all right. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What could we do as as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, by Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Redek. Virginia, some of these different challenges that are out there that I know the educational, at least hearing from Chris and Hartley at the office and Fred from the Eureka City Schools, is that there's more flexibility or not blending of dollars, but here's money, here's your goals, and they have more abilities to address than what they had historically. You know, 15, 20 years ago, everything was in its own silo, and that was it, and that was it. Is there a trend? Is Newsom saying anything along those lines of allowing that flexibility of application of dollars, but still having the requirement of the results of utilizing those dollars?
You know, I'm not sure necessarily why that I'd say that Newsom does, because some of this has been in the works for a while, like the No Place Like Home dollars. You know, I think there's been a focus in looking at how can they make it more flexible, because not every county needs are the same.
You mentioned the mental health.
Right.
Well, okay, if that's involved with some of the other stuff that's going on out there, at least talking to, you know, some of the folks that regularly appear here, mental health /drugs is the common for an awful lot of what we're dealing with. But if you can't arrest somebody because you don't have space, doesn't matter. If you can't incarcerate them into some service program, well, that doesn't matter. And it just kind of continues to chunk along, maybe being addressed, but solutions aren't being developed for that individual.
Well, I do think that the housing is an important piece, because if you or I had fallen into an issue of dependence, which hopefully, you know, that would never happen. This soda, this
water
mango,
doesn't count.
This mango sparkling water, but or a mental illness, or someone that we know, it would be hard if you don't have a regular place to live. I mean, I think that is part of it, but I think, you know, you kind of have to work with the whole person. But we've had those pots of funds that have helped get folks, say, with mental health issues into housing. Addiction is harder. You can't like necessarily force somebody.
Unless the judge determines.
Right, and that happens less and less. But, you know, what I mentioned earlier was some of the funding that's coming down now isn't necessarily, it's a little bit different. It's while there's dollars now that help someone with a severe mental illness to, the county can actually help put them into housing. And I mean, we can help them. And that actually helps getting the moving forward with treatment, and we hope doing better in the community. But that's severe mental illness. And a lot of the folks that we have, even though we see people yelling and whatever, there's a
technical definition.
Yeah, when I used to work for Eli Lilly, it's the DSM-4 or whatever. There's, I'm using quotes. You can't see these quote marks on the when I do this. But
those look like curly fingers to me.
This looks like
that's okay.
Mrs. Gildescar.
Oh, Mrs. G. Yeah,
Mrs. G. I'll never forget her. But
boy, is that Eureka-centric, guys.
But they don't qualify. And so what these dollars that are coming down are more flexible, so that we can help some of the people who have been beyond a county's ability to provide services for. Even, one of the things I've seen happen most recently prior to this, but will be the same type of thing, is we have a lot of seniors we know that are facing losing where they live, or already living in cars or couch surfing. Couch surfing can be fine if, you know, I mean.
Triggered by what? I mean, when I think of a lot of the folks, and I guess you have to stereotype at some point. It's somebody, they've had the family home for a period of years, it's been paid off, and okay, now the kids are gone, but that's still the family home.
I don't know if there's a trigger. I just know that it was interesting. Several months ago, it was the first time I noticed it. I go visit the senior center like once a month.
Because we are.
Yes. And I go around all the tables and talk. And this one time, it was like this one gentleman had been in he had an issue with his landlord. I won't use any names. And it was, you know, so he had finally gotten the okay to get a new place, but he couldn't get there because he couldn't get the money for the first and last. And then he also couldn't get anyone to help him move things in. So it's like, well, let me see if I can find out. So another table had someone else who was living in their car. They had the okay to get an apartment, but they couldn't get the first or last. And so I went and talked to the woman afterwards. I said, I've never seen this before. She goes, yeah, there was like at least three people. And we were actually able to be pretty creative with how we made it work. But by the next month I went, they all had a place to go. And I have to.
So the first and last is more of a.
It's once an impediment.
I know that's a traditional.
And the deposit.
But if these folks have had years of good, solid, steady, limited risk, I would think that there might be a fund that the county would have that would. Okay, we'll cover and then bump your monthly by $10, and at the end we'll be.
Kind of like
a facade grant in the old days.
Right. Well, that's what these dollars that are coming down, the acronym, I cannot tell you what it means, HEAP. I can tell you tomorrow. But I could have told you yesterday,
for
too.
A hamburger today.
It's like all the acronyms. I need a list. But these are those types of dollars where you can do the landlord. I wouldn't say incentives necessarily.
Does it need to be a state fund, or is that something that...
No, that's actually something we've been trying. Well, we have just, you know, not long ago, finally got the housing trust fund started, and that has always been looking at that as being part of those kind of dollars as well, a piece of it. So, I mean, you know, it's not perfect. It's not everybody's going to get help, but, you know, it takes coming together. What I was going to say, I do have to give Matthew Owen a shout out, because this poor gentleman who the man that could not move into his apartment, Matthew went over
he
to help
up
him move,
and
our
move.
Neighbor Phil Perez, who's also an amazing person, spent pretty much the day helping this gentleman
moving stuff. Yeah,
and that man was he was so appreciative.
I would
and
suspect
thankful.
If something like that, that's a little bit of
community oriented service,
helping out your neighbor, you ask, and you're going to have 50 people there, and it'll be done in 20 minutes.
Well, and that's what happened. He asked,
but somebody has to ask.
Yeah, he said something that he needed help, and I went home, and I didn't even ask Lee. I don't think I asked Matthew. I went home after I told the gentleman. Oh,
guess
yeah.
what?
Yeah, I did.
Our home operates that way,
nice.
Too.
Very nice. Very nice. And talk about a good deed for the day. That was definitely it. Especially their stairs, I hear.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:43.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:47. We're back, final couple minutes this morning.
Excuse me. I didn't mean that. Sorry. I'm trying to take up time.
With Virginia Bass. As you look at the upcoming year, if flexibility is what you're looking for from the state, is there flexibility at the county?
excuse me.
You can't do that for 2 minutes.
There's something stuck there. You know, we're working on that also, at least as far as, you know, funds like we were talking before. We did finally get a housing trust fund started. It was amazing to me how difficult and politically charged that conversation was. It lasted years.
What were the political pressures?
You know, it goes back several years. I mean, I've been involved in like 8 years of it. Some of it was like, well, if we do this, then so-and-so's not going to get the money that they usually get.
So it was turf protection?
Some of it was. And so I think we did come up. I think we have three different funds where it's still fairly new. We have some dollars in it. The piece of property, you know, whatever we're surplusing, the piece over on Lucas.
Well, the future home of the Boys and Girls Club?
I don't know.
I remember that sign from the 80s. Yes.
Yes. Wait a minute. That sounds familiar. But, you know, so those dollars are going there. But some of those monies, you know, we are looking forward to having as those landlord incentives. What those are going to look like, I don't know. Some counties have.
And those could be revolving accounts, too. So you're not blowing it in the wind.
I mean, Orange County, you know, obviously different than us, but they have a huge homeless problem. They have more cities than we do, for sure. I think they have like 30-some cities. So if you can imagine trying to pull all that together, and it's taken a while, like about a year, but they finally have come up, and they've got some pretty good forward movement happening.
Now, wait a minute. You said within a year?
It was.
They got 30 cities all talking together and coming together with a plan?
Well, some of them had no choice. I mean, I don't know if it was the Attorney General. There was some big hammer that came down.
Some outside pressure.
All the people, they moved out of the flood banks. Anyway, it was an ugly time, a lot of really ugly things. But in Los Angeles County, I have to say, with that tax measure they passed, you'd be surprised at the things they're doing. But it is L.A.
Maybe they'll share with us.
Oh, sure.
Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.